This is the Good Things Guy podcast with myself, Brendan Decute, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I truly believe that there's good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. In the Good Things Guy podcast, you'll meet these everyday heroes and hear their incredible stories. Tsitsi Chumya is a young comedian from a small town south of the Limpopo province. He has fast become a young talent to be reckoned with, winning admirers across South Africa and Africa, not to mention his international shows in Europe and the USA, where it seems everyone can relate to his awkwardly relatable stories. I've got him in studio today. It's the second show of 2020, and the reason I've brought him in is because I feel like South Africa needs a little bit more comedy. We have a really tough time in this country, and a lot of the time we can feel like it's super overwhelming, and maybe our outlet is comedy. And a lot of the stories that we write and what we see on Good Things Guy is that we're able to get through really tough situations by using comedy. So Tsitsi, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on the Good Things Guy Jackpot.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone.
Hey, everyone. What's happening? I got a comedian in the studio. I want to know, okay, first of all, how old are you?
26.
26.
So I'm not like, the young comedian thing is dying off slowly.
Listen, I just won an award for being in the young category.
Yeah.
And I'm 35. And I was like, how is that still young? I don't quite understand. Yeah. And then when I went into the terms and conditions, it said anybody under 40.
Is young. Oh, okay, so that's cool. You're in the 200
whatever.
Garden what would think. Congratulations. Whatever.
Thank you. Yeah. Awards are awards. They don't really matter.
Hey, man, it counts.
So you're 26 years old.
Yeah.
How did you get into comedy?
It was actually the strangest thing. I think every male has the desire to do comedy at some point, you know, because it's a sign of like dominance in a way, you know, like everybody's looking at you laughing and stuff. And I think when I was a kid, I'd always look at like the funny people around me, and they would always be the people that are getting attention. Like my uncle, you know, he messed up in life, but because he was funny, everyone was very lenient towards him. So going into that, then I studied at WITS, and then while I was studying...
Did you study comedy at WITS?
No. Don't go to WITS for comedy. It's very bad comedy if you go to that university for comedy. No, so I studied game design at WITS. I think in my last year, I was getting really frustrated with the studies. Which
I was
going to
say,
really,
how boring
game design is. No, game design is actually fun. It's just like the conditions under which I was there were kind of getting frustrating. And a friend of mine and I had a friend of mine who's also a comedian, Emilio Tobias, we had an idea. Yo, let's go start trying to do comedy. You know, I've always like watched comedy growing up. And we went to this bar called the Bannister in Bramfontein, and we went there. There was like three people there.
In the audience?
Yeah, in the audience. And I knew like two of them. So like, and the jokes that I was doing to them were the jokes that I was trying out in class. Like I'd just say something random, and if they laughed, then I jotted down. I'm like, okay, cool, this is a cool joke. And they came there, and you know, we had our first comedy show, and then we realized like, oh, no one's going to put us on their shows because, you know, we young and stuff. So at the church, they have this thing called like talent night. So we put out there, and you know, everyone there was very supportive, and then we thought like, oh man, 2 weeks from now I'm going to the Daily Show. And then, yeah, from there we just started like going to shows, and then I moved to Cape Town, fortunately. And I think that was, I moved to Cape Town to start working after studying.
To start working in the game
designer. Yeah, as a game designer. And while I was there, you know, I had a bit of privileges in terms of like I had a car. And, you know, I was staying in Somerset West, which was not cool. But, you know, all the comedy happens in Cape Town. So what I would do is that I would drive every day. Every single day I would drive from Somerset West every night and go to comedy and then come back, you know. doing that. After a while, people kind of recognize you. And I was like one of the only few English speaking, you know, people of color. That actually kind of worked in my advantage, because when you want to line up with Variety, then, you know, I'm the guy.
Variety. tell me about that first show. I want to go back just for a sec.
Yeah.
That first show, was it difficult to get up on stage, even though there were only three people there? Was it difficult to face an audience and have to tell your jokes?
Well, I don't think so. I think I still face that same nervousness. It's just when I watch the video now, because I took a video, because you're excited. You're like, yo, I'm going to take a video. I'm going to post it on YouTube.
I'm going to become famous.
And then I'm famous instantly. Yeah. So I watched the video recently. Oh, man, it was terrible. But like when you're up there, it just feels like you're talking to people. And I think everybody has that feeling of like being the center of attention. And I think that's what we yearn for as comedians. We want to be the center of attention. And then later you start like, oh, maybe let me, you know, be funny. And then, yeah, it wasn't that difficult. But I think it can be like thinking about it is more difficult than actually doing it. Once you're on stage and you have this 5 minutes that you have to say something, you know, you're gonna, you know, come up with something.
Something like that. And then your path and your journey has taken you to a place where you've gone international.
Yeah.
And you've done a couple of shows overseas.
Yeah. Well, actually, my first corporate was in Belgium, which was really interesting. Like, I was like, are you guys sure? They're like, yeah, we'll pay you. I'm like, yeah, cool. I'll get a visa. I'll come. And I went there. And I was very upset at how cold it was. Because, like, before I went to Belgium, right? Oh, wait. No. That was America. But I went to Belgium. I didn't understand, like, when people talk about cold, right? So then...
Because we don't have cold in South Africa.
No, I don't think we do. Like, I think we have, like, just chilly weather, you know? Like that's why even, like white dudes walk around with, like, flip-flops in winter. And then it's like, they don't take our winter seriously. Like, this winter is not... But I went there, and I was so upset at how cold it was. Because they told me I have to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Every morning, and it's like a kilometer down, so like from where I was staying, so I could just walk and go there. But like every single time I walked, I felt like, man, like I just came like in a fridge or something. So I was really upset, but I got there, and I was very new in comedy at the time. So like for me, it was just like, yo, I need to make these people laugh, but this is a corporate, so you are... You know, you are...
There's parameters.
Yes, there's parameters. You have to, like, kind of do something. So the first day I remember I got there and I was just amped. I was just like, yo, I'm going to make everyone laugh. So I do, like, a 20-minute set up front, right? And, like, we were very tight for time. I do a 20-minute set. Everybody is killing themselves laughing, right? These are people from all over the world. They're killing themselves. And I'm just, like, happy, right? So then I'm like, okay, let's bring on, like...
I got a guy
to talk, right? So the guy comes and talks. I come back again. I do another 20 minutes of comedy. So then they had to talk to me, like, hey, man, this is great, but please don't do any more jokes. It was really fun. But, yeah, I mean, like, I was very lucky in terms of, like, the opportunities that I got, because most of the opportunities that I got in corporate comedy were from a game design perspective, which was really nice. Yeah.
Tell me about the Trevor Noah thing.
Yeah.
What, I mean, you mentioned The Daily Show just briefly.
Yeah.
You're so nonchalant. You're like, ah, I'm going to be on The Daily Show. But Trevor Noah, he handpicked you.
Yeah. Well,
for what?
For a show called The Nationwide. So he, you know, he used to have a Nationwide before he left. And then he, like, kind of, you know, made the show again. And that was really, it was really intense. Because at the time that he picked me for that, I was actually trying to move to the States, right? But for game design, right? I was trying to move to the States because nothing was working. You know, I was like, you know, let me just move to the States, make some games, and, you know, maybe something will come out of it. And then I remember...
let me move to the States, make some games, do some comedy while I'm there.
Yeah, and maybe I'll be found and, you know, go host the Stuart Taylor show. I mean, I don't know. What, another show, like, give it to the Titi Chumia show, presents in America, and everybody will hear my beautiful accent.
And then he found you, and he said, you're not going to America, and you're not going to go make games.
Well, I was in America when they called, right? I remember I was going to stay there for a month, And then they called, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna leave. So like I cut the last 2 weeks. I was like, I'm coming back to South Africa regardless of what happens.
Mm.
You know, it'll happen. I come back and the show is like 3 days later. We do like a rehearsal. And
did someone coach you? Like you're gonna do the show. Where did the content come from?
I had the content. You know?
Well, there, ready
I always
to go.
Have the content. Always, that's the one rule of being a comedian. Always have the content.
You know? Okay, so you were ready to go.
I was, you know, it's just like locked and loaded. That's and ready to go. So I had the content. I come back. We do rehearsals and stuff like that. So I asked a couple of comedians for like advice in terms of like structuring your material, because you always have to have material. It's like a rapper. If someone says, "Yo, rap now,"
you gotta do it.
You can't say, "Yo, I've gotta write the verse first." Then you're like, "No, you're not a rapper, man." So Robbie Collins helped me, like, you know, kind of structure my show. Robbie, Mojack, and a couple of other guys, and then we did the show, and it was really emotional because I felt like this was the start of everything, because I had just left my job in Cape Town, and I was living with my parents. I had no way of, like, you know, of like supporting myself. I mean, you're like 24, 25, so like you can't really be asking your mom for pocket money anymore. You know, okay, now you're a man. You have to kind of pay, you know, for something in the house. So yeah, so then that came about, and I thought
I'm going to be on the Daily Show.
I thought, I'm famous. I'm going to be famous, right? Do the show. Remember, they shoot the show, and then it airs like months later. So they shoot the show, and then immediately, now you're just the guy who says the... perform the Trevor Noah, right?
There's no proof.
No one knows, right? So I'm like, yo, man.
Did you at least take like a selfie with him so you could show them?
No, I didn't have the time because I cried at the end of the show, right? Because I was like, man, I cried, like, you know, it was tears of joy. I'm like, yo, after this, you know, everything's going to be great. So I move, I go from the stage, right? Travis is standing next to me. From the stage, I'm crying, right? So I leave, I go straight to the toilet, and I cried for like 30 minutes, and I'm like, yo, man, hopefully whatever happens and whatever comes out of this, I hope it's good. I hope whatever comes out of this is going to be amazing. It's going to change, you know. I can help myself. Because my dad has always like been that guy to support me. And I was like, yo, I want to take the toll off this man so that he can also live with his wife properly, you know.
Yes.
And doesn't have another man walking around the house. So then I cry and I'm like, oh, man. Then after that, I thought, you know, everything's going to be cool. So I go for castings after that. So now I'm there. Like, I'm like, yes, I'm the guy who performed the Trevor Noah. And they're like, where? And I'm like, wait for next year. It's coming out very soon. So then throughout all this, I realized, like, that comedy is not just one body of work, you know. It's like when culmination, and I hope I said that word right, of all the things that you've done, when they come together and people understand what your perspective is at the end of the tunnel, then, you know, then when people understand, they're like, oh, now we get it, and now you're creating content for them to like kind of catch up to. So when they see you, they're like, oh, who's that guy, right? And then they go search you, whatever, and they're like, oh, he's done that. Oh, this guy's actually, you know, he's not bad, you know, he's pretty great. And I feel like when you're building all that stuff, you need to be very like cognizant of the fact that you are building. And then when it all comes together, that's when, you know, it takes a bit of luck and stuff like that. You know, I'm still waiting for, you know, for certain things to happen. Like even this podcast, I mean, I wouldn't have done it if, you know, it wasn't like a combination of other stuff. Cause then you're like, oh, you did this. Cause people, sometimes they meet you, they're like, hey, where do you perform? Like people ask me that a lot. Where do you perform? And then, like, it almost feels like bragging when you tell them all the stuff that you've done. Because you never sit down and really, like, you know, reflect on the things that you've done. But then when you do, then you're like, oh, maybe I should you know, cut that other one out because this guy is going to think I'm not humble. So, yeah, that's kind of
You talk about the things that you've done, and there's a list that I have here.
Yeah.
You've got the Comics Choice Awards for Best Newcomer in 2018.
Yeah.
The Next Level Award in 2019.
Yeah.
And South African Film and Television Award as well for script writing.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
For the Puppet Nation team. You were featured by the BBC on a profile series called The Arts Hour, I think.
Yeah.
That already is huge clout for where you've been and what you've done. When you start getting accolades and people start giving you awards for the work that you're doing, then you must know that you're on the right path.
Yeah, man. It feels good. Like, these awards are pretty heavy. So, like, you know, you put them on, you put them in your house. They kind of look nice. You know? You don't have to buy things to decorate anymore.
You just have awards. I buy awards because I don't know.
You buy awards. Hey, that's a very interesting topic because in South Africa right now, everybody's saying everybody's buying awards.
No, I'm kidding. Comedy in South Africa, and I started off the show by saying it's so damn important.
Yeah.
Living in South Africa is super tough. If we open up the Daily Sun or click onto some sort of news site and read what's going on, it can feel very overwhelming. Like it's too much.
Yeah.
But we know how to laugh at ourselves.
We do, which is, South Africans are phenomenal, man. Like, I believe, like, we're one of the toughest people in the world, man. I don't want to say the toughest because, man, that doesn't sound like, you know, we acknowledge other people. But in my perspective, I think we're tough. If you're from another country and you think you're tough, hey, man, you can come and see who's tougher. Come, let's go to Soweto for 2 days, you know? No, I think South Africans are pretty much the toughest people in the world because, like, we go through, You know, we have, like, we don't have, you know, the best of histories and we don't have the best of ways that we're sorting it out, but we still coexist and everybody's having a good time, you know, and most of the time we're having a good time and we can look at ourselves and really laugh at ourselves. I promise you, I've been to a couple of countries and you do comedy there and you talk about, like, the issues that really, really affect a place, like your place. And people come up to you with the utmost shock, like, oh my, I hope you're okay.
Yeah, like, your power gets switched off every couple of hours. Oh my God.
They're like, oh man, I hope you're okay. And I'm like, yo man, like, I'm cool. Like, you know, I'm here. Like, for me, talking about it, maybe that's a way of healing, but it's not like I'm devastated without these things. And I think, like, all South Africans, we're all going through our own troubles in our own little bubbles and stuff like that. And I feel like comedy, you know, it's a way to, like, we perform to crowds of, like, you know, all the races, all the genders, all the whatever. We perform to people and they will all laugh at one story, right? And then you're like, cool, everybody relates to you. Like, because we feel like, because I feel like South Africans, the reason we fight is because we always feel like we're going through things in isolation.
Yeah.
And the isolation can be broken down into bigger parts, like race, like that's an isolation. Gender, that's another isolation.
Class.
That's a big one, right?
Or even like where you live. That could be like
you
a
know,
thing.
Where you went to school in isolation. Oh, I went to school like this, so I go through this. Like, yo, man, if you really analyze everything, every single person is the same. I spent a month in Asia, right, in Southeast Asia, Singapore, whatever, and I realize that everyone is essentially the same. We all have a weird uncle. We all have, like we all have a weird auntie. We're all the same. It's just like the way we choose to engage is very, like, policed. You can't engage like this. You can't do this. You have to be politically correct. You have to do this because they're trying to, like, I say they, now I sound like a conspiracy theorist.
Who are they?
Because we're trying to, like, police the way we interact, you know, like, I say, sure, I greet every single person of every color the same way I'd greet every other single person because they understand that's a greeting. I say, sure, Fete, how are you? Sharp, grand, hola, done, right? They understand that that's a greeting. And that's all you need to understand. You don't have to understand where the origins of the word hola is. You know, like, we use it, but it's not even our word. You know, like, I'm like, we have to, like, deal with issues like we're not in isolation. And that's the only way, I think. And that's how I feel like comedy does it. Comedy puts everyone in a room and rips every single person apart And then now we are all forced to laugh at the person because that's what we think of him. We're laughing at ourselves. We're laughing at, we're laughing at every single person. Like, when we talk about load shedding, we talk about all of us because all of us are affected regardless of if you want to or not. Whether you're rich, poor, you know, middle class, living, you are affected by load shedding. So if we talk about load shedding, you have to laugh at yourself too because you've done weird things while load shedding and you've gone angry at yourself for 2 hours. This government. But you don't have power, bro. Keep quiet. No one cares. No one cares.
Good grief. I agree with you, and that's why I love comedy.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to support in South Africa. To go to the comedy shows, to find them. I love to laugh, and I love the eclectic. What you talk about, people coming together.
Yeah.
That everybody's different, and yet we're all the same, and we're all sitting in the room laughing at the fact that we can agree that that's funny.
Like exactly. If we're all laughing, then that's a form of agreement.
If we're all laughing, then no one's crying, and that's a good sign.
Come on. What would you call a show where the aim is to make people cry? It's like real life. Like, you have no money.
So bad. Tell me, obviously it's the start of the year, and I'm sure you've got a lot of things in the pipeline.
Yeah.
Where can we find you? What can we do? Where can we watch you? Where can we hear you? You make jokes where we can laugh. Or can we only find you on Trevor Noah's show? Has that finally come out?
Yeah, it has come out. It's been like a couple of months now, which is really cool. You can find it on the Showmax called Nation Wild. I've also just released my first one-man show. It's also on Showmax. Yeah, it's called So Naive. You see, I'm wearing a shirt.
I'm going to take a photo of your shirt. It'll go with the podcast so you can see your shirt.
It's called So Naive. It's basically about all my initial thoughts of moving when I moved to Johannesburg from Limpopo and what, really came out of, because you have this idea. Yeah, I'm going to a metropolitan city. I'm going to live the life. And then you get here and it's like the same. And you're like, oh man, why is there? I still have to take a taxi here. I thought everyone that comes to Joburg gets a bike,
Where's my limousine?
What? My limousine? Yeah, where's my limousine? I thought you said my limousine. It would have been a cool play on words with my lima because he's from Limpopo.
Your brain is switched on. All right, so we can find you on Showmax. You got two shows there.
Yeah.
Are you gigging at all?
Yes, I am. I'm actually doing it's a big show. I'm doing a lot of small shows, but there's a big show happening in Cape Town. It's the Cape Town Comedy Festival that's coming back, and I'm doing a show called Funny But Funny. It happens in March in Cape Town. It's the biggest international comedy festival from South Africa. They have lots and lots of acts from all over the world. And I'm doing my one-man show in Cape Town on the 8th of Feb. So, if you're down in Cape Town, go check it out. And the tickets for both my one-man show.
Where's all the love for Joburg? Did you move up here and find out that it was so like Limpopo that you've decided to just go to Cape Town?
No, I've done all my shows in Cape Town. So, in Joburg, rather. Like last year, I had a plan to do 400 seats in every single province, right? So I finished Johannesburg last year because I live here. So when I do a show, it's easier to get to the people, So now I'm trying to, spread my wings and go to see other places. I have 100 people left in Cape Town and 400 in Durban, and I finished Limpopo as well. So, I'm trying to finish this thing and then move on to the next show, which is going to be called Breadwinner.
Well, it's been amazing having you on the Good Things Guy podcast. Yeah. I look forward to following your shows.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to go home and watch your shows on Showmax.
Alright, cool. Watch the Trevor Noah one. First.
I will do that.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Cool. That's another Good Things Guy jackpot. Remember to be kind to each other. There are people that are going through things that we know nothing about. And I think sharing a little bit of kindness is what more of the world needs right now. Sending you only good things.
I'm Brent Lindekew, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy, and you've been listening to Good Things Guy, a jackpot podcast. For more episodes or to subscribe, rate or review my podcast, go to iTunes, Iona FM or Google Podcasts. Be kinder than necessary to yourself and each other. Thanks, and only good things.